Hello, and welcome to the Harvard EdCast, a series of conversations with thought leaders in the field of education. I'm your host, Jill Anderson. Today, we are talking to Zuriel Odewale, a documentary filmmaker who has interviewed 24 heads of state from around the world as an advocate for girls' education. She just returned home to Los Angeles after traveling the world to premiere her latest film, Follow the Ball. Oh, and I should tell you that she is also only 15 years old. Welcome to the EdCast, Zuriel.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's wonderful to have you on today. Tell me a bit more about your latest film, which I understand is your fifth documentary, Follow the Ball.
Yes, that is correct. So my fifth film, Follow the Ball for Education, I started shooting that 3 years ago. It was during the 2014 FIFA World Cup in Brazil. So what I did was, because I'm a girl education advocate, I had an idea to get people talking more about girls' education. What I did was, I took two soccer balls to five countries across three continents to get people to sign them, saying I'm signing to support girls' education. So I shot that documentary in Brazil, it was Ethiopia, then also in Nigeria, Mauritius, and in the U.S. as well. So I got governors, ambassadors, soccer players, soccer fans, even a Nobel Prize winner, and many others signing these two soccer balls saying I'm signing to support girls' education. So that's what my film was about, and that's the one that first premiered in August, and it also premiered in Marrakesh, Morocco a couple weeks ago.
Wow, that's really impressive.
Thank you.
I'm curious, did you have anyone who wouldn't sign the soccer balls?
Like, everyone I met wanted to sign the ball. There was even one case where I was in the airport and I met some Chinese fans. I asked one of them to sign the ball. There was about seven of them. I gave it to one, and after that, everyone started, you know, choosing markers and everyone started signing the ball. So I think that everyone's very supportive of it.
Good. I'm relieved to hear that. So you've been doing this work for several years, and you are only 15. How did you become so passionate about girls' education at such a young age?
So I was a filmmaker first. When I was nine, I made a documentary on the Ghana Revolution, and I entered it into a competition that was sponsored by the History Channel. And so basically, they asked students to make a documentary on the revolution that happened in history. So I chose the Ghana Revolution, and of course, I had to go to Ghana to shoot some scenes. Now, while I was there, I saw a lot of children, most of them were girls, though, who were out on the streets and selling. Now, they could not have been any older than 14, and because I was 9 at the time, you know, I didn't really like seeing girls who were my age or similar age as me not in school and getting an education. So that's what made me want to start my Dream Up, Speak Up, Stand Up project. That's my girls' education project, where I talk to students who are in school about why it's important for them to stay in school and get a good education so that when they get older, you know, they have more options in life and they have a brighter future. So I've done that project, and I believe it's now about 12 countries. I've done that in Tanzania, Malawi, Mauritius, Ethiopia, and also in Mexico. I've done that, I believe I've addressed just over 25,000 students for that project. But then also, as a follow-up to this project, I talked to heads of state, presidents and prime ministers, like you mentioned, 24, about why it's important for them to make policies so that children, but especially girls in their countries, you know, have the opportunity to not just go to school, but also get good quality education. So I've spoken to heads of state on the African continent, like Liberia, South Sudan, Kenya. I've also done a couple in Europe, like Malta and Croatia, and just a few in the Caribbean, like countries like Jamaica. So that's what made me want to start, and that's what I do for that project as well.
When you met with these world leaders, what have you heard from them about maybe some of the challenges of educating girls globally, some of the things that maybe we just don't understand?
Economic challenges, And there's also cultural reasons why girls aren't able to go to school. So, for example, I met President Salva Kiir of South Sudan, and you might not know this, South Sudan actually has one of the highest rates of girl marriage in the world. Usually, at the latest, 13, they're already married and they already have children. So I went to speak to him, and he told me the reason for this was because it was a cultural thing. You know, it's been going on for many, many generations. But also, when I talked to other heads of state, like the presidents of Tanzania and Malawi, I find out that there's also economic reasons why girls aren't going to school. Mm-hmm. It could be that either the parents don't have enough to send all their children to school, and if that's the case, usually the boys go first. And then also, like, if they do have enough money, sometimes they would use it for other things. So what I try and do for that situation is I try and also talk to the parents of the children who I speak to about why it's important for them to, one, support their children, but also to allow their girls to be able to go to school and get an education. So I talked about ways they can do that, like sponsorships from companies or scholarships from schools and even grants from governments. Those are some of the challenges that I think I have seen doing these projects where I talk to heads of state.
You've spoken to a lot of children as well. I think I saw something like 25,000 children about the importance of education and staying in school. What do you hear most often from these children you meet about education? How do you propose maybe we do some things beyond policy leaders to actually make some changes on the ground? Do you have any ideas for that?
Wait, well, I think the policy would be a main thing because, you know, as presidents, if they put laws into place, then children have to go to school. But then, as I mentioned, if it's country's cultural reasons why girls aren't able to go to school, hopefully, if I can visit those countries and show parents those countries me as an example, they can see why it's so important for their children to go to school. But then also, I think it's important to enforce these policies in the countries because that's, I think, the best way to get all the children in those countries, but especially girls, to be able to go to school.
So my understanding is, at least I've read, that you have shared some aspirations of potentially running for office one day, a big office, the President of the United States, and you've got some time before that you can run for office. So I'm curious how you see yourself continuing on this journey you've started of being a advocate for education.
Well, definitely through whatever I do in life, I'm going to continue speaking for the rights of girls' education until I see significant change being done and I see a lot more girls on the African continent, even other regions of the world, having the chance and the opportunity to go to school. Like, one of the reasons why I wanted to become president of the United States is so that I can have a positive influence on policies that are not just made in the U.S., but also in other countries, but especially education policies on the African continent.
So you're going to continue to do this work, and my understanding is you're going to soon... Have you already applied to college? Are you in that process yet?
Yeah, I'm in the process of doing so right now, because I'm a high school student right now.
Yeah, any... can you give us any hints about whether you'll be pursuing policy, political science, or looking into education?
No, I'm still deciding all of that. I'm still looking into all of that. Still looking at colleges, you know, UCLA is an option, maybe even Harvard, hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Well, great. So for people who want to keep tabs on the work that you're doing or even have a chance to check out your documentary, can you share a little bit about where we can find you online and perhaps catch the documentary?
Right. Well, for my documentaries, anyone who wants to see them, they can find them on my website. My website is dususu.com. So dususu.com, they can see some documentaries and videos of things I've done. But then also, if they just Google my name or look up some things I've done on YouTube, my YouTube channel, they should be able to keep up with what I'm doing and find some other things as well. Also, of course, social media. So Facebook, Twitter, a Twitter handle. For both of them, it's just my first name and my last name. So Zuriel Oduwale.
There, everyone heard it. Go check that out. And you are just such an amazing inspiration to be doing all the incredible work that you're doing, especially at your age. I am so thankful that you took the time to talk to us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That is great. This is the Harvard EdCast, a production of the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Thank you for listening.